Wouldn't that continue to go?
He almost drowned before he was married?
Yes, he went down to Atlantic City on a day excursion.
What year was that, or when was that? Before his mother died?
Yes, that was, well, his mother died in 1911, and that was probably in 1908, and he was very nearly drowned. He tells the story of this man working on him and finally hearing him say he's coming out of it, and he just about came out of it, got the water out of his lungs and came out of it, got him up and walking around, and enough that he could get the train back home.
Well, didn't Pop-Pop get there before he...
No, he came on home. It was just a day excursion he was on. But that always kept him from enjoying or wanting to swim. He never was always afraid of the water from that on. And it always held him back from swimming or enjoying swimming.
Did he go down alone for that?
Yes, he went down all by himself just on a day excursion to spend the day in the water.
That's a strange thing.
Well, a strange thing for a young fellow, I guess. But I guess he was strange all the way around. I mean, with not having the tendencies of other young men to spend their time dancing or going to movies or so on instead of reading or doing something worthwhile.
He was in law school then, wasn't he?
Yes, he was in law school then, I think. Yes, he was in law school.
What high school did he go to?
Central High School, public.
That's not the same one you went to.
No, I went to the girls' high school.
South?
17th and Spring Garden I went, and he went to Broad and Green. Central High School's gone. Not there anymore.
Well, you didn't have to create his interest then in children or in home life or in getting a religious atmosphere after you got married.
No, I did not. All I had to do was have the children.
He got the atmosphere.
Yeah. They were happy years. I never was happier than when I was pregnant. Never. Never had better health than when I was pregnant.
And there was probably, he was never more interested and helpful than when you were pregnant.
No. No, he was very much interested. And the new babies were the newest interest of all. Giving them their exercises at night, their hands and their feet, and playing with them, and putting them to bed.
He helped in that, did he?
Yes, indeed. He helped in anything around the babies. As soon as Frank made his first Holy Communion, Pop started taking them to 6:30 Mass and continued. As they made their first Communion, they went to 6:30 Mass with him every morning. I resented that for some time and revolted against it and thought it was too much for young children to go out that early in the morning, and particularly in cold weather, and that it would affect their health and it would do this to them and do that to them. And it took me until after there were half a dozen or more children going that I realized that that going out early in the morning was a real advantage, because it gave them time to come back home. It gave them an appetite to eat a good breakfast. It gave them time to get their things ready and together for going to school. And they went out to school, not on the rush and hurry of a last minute, but had time to do it and time to think of what they were doing. And then I began to realize how wise he was and what this going to daily Mass had meant, both to their health and to their spiritual development.
Well, was he going to 6:30 before the children came?
He was going to Mass, I would say 8. But the minute Winifred, the oldest girl, went into high school, she couldn't make high school from going to 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock Mass. So she started going to 6:30 Mass by herself. And he said, if she can go to 6:30 Mass, the boys can go to 6:30 Mass, and so can I. And that's when they started going to 6:30 Mass.
You didn't have to walk to Mass, did you?
No.
I don't remember any walking to Mass.
No, he took them to Mass in the automobile. It was 5 or 6 blocks.
How long were you married before you got the auto?
The first auto we got was Grandfather McSorley's.
Bought it.
He bought it. And he tried to run it. And he ran it about twice and ran into a lamppost. And that ended him. So he handed it over to Pop. And then we used it. And then that was an old Model T that we cranked. And we had that for some time before we got another Model T. We never got anything but a Ford at any time.
Well, that was, you weren't married more than about a year then?
Not about a year.
So none of the children remember any time when there was no car?
No, they do not. They don't remember anything but an automobile.
And all that time driving, he never had an accident?
No. He never had an accident, thank God. In all the driving that he's done, and he loves driving.
Well, one of the things that would be very helpful to other mothers or mothers of a large family is, what's the difference between the first pregnancy and the others in difficulty and pain?
Well, of course, with me, a child was the strangest thing in the world. I knew nothing about babies. I knew nothing about pregnancy. I knew nothing about what went on at all. As a matter of fact, when I was married, I was innocent as a child, 6 years old.
Well, that was your mother's fault, that and was, also the priest's fault.
Well, that was my mother's fault, to a certain extent, as a priest in Boston told me at the time. But my mother was of the old school. She wouldn't talk to a girl, or especially her child, of things of that sort.
Well, don't you think that...
That has changed me. I have talked to all my girls. I always felt afterwards what a terrible thing it was for my mother to be with me the night before I was married and let me get married and go on off without even discussing the subject of marriage to me. Never even brought it up. Fortunately, I married a good Catholic man. It could have been quite a disaster. But I remember the priest in Boston saying to me, "Well, your husband's a Catholic." "Yes, Father." "Do you believe that God owns your soul?" "Yes, Father." "Well, then your husband owns your body as God owns your soul." And that's the way we live. And that's the way...
Well, then you had to go see a priest in Boston to get that straight.
Yes.
And that was on your honeymoon.
Yes.
And, of course, that made it an unhappiness and an anxiety for you that was unfortunate.
Yes, it did. Especially that foul Paul.
Huh? Well, I get that.
What?
I mean, you don't believe in sex education. Unless it's individualized and according to the need, the actual need, according to the aid of the person receiving it. Well, that's the church's view of it.
See, I don't believe in mass sex education.
Well,
that's the idea.
That's the Catholic view. That's
yes.
The Catholic view, because it's an individual problem.
I think, of course, it's a family problem. It's a home problem, not a school problem at all. But
if the family fails, then secondarily it becomes the priest or the school's problem. As it does, if the parents don't give the instruction.
Yes, the parents have to give the instruction, and they have to give the instruction at home.
And even more today is needed.
Oh, yes. Even more than in my day. But I don't believe in it as a mass production. Because it holds up to ridicule something that is very sacred.
Yes.
And it leaves open to jibes and obscene sort of remarks that are better.
Well, irreverence, really.
Irreverence is really the word for it. Yes.
I think sacred.